Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exalted be the name of our God, for he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone this evening. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome all of you right now joining us online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And it's wonderful to be here in the house of God. Hallelujah. And as I've been saying lately, if in case you are in the area, if in case you are close by all means, please stop by and worship. For one, it's free admission. Secondly, it's come as you are. So if in case you forgot your mask in the house, come in anyways, come as you are. If you forgot your mask in the car, come on anyways. All are welcome. Praise the Lord. The Lord has given us today a beautiful day, and certainly I have rejoiced, my wife and I have rejoiced in this day. We got a lot done today, and now we are rejoicing in the house of God. Praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we worship you. Lord, we bless you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, once again for this wonderful day that you have created just for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for this day that we have. And now, Lord, we are here in your house to worship you, to fellowship with one another, to hear your word, to be ministered by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask right now that everyone that's watching this right now, wherever they are, online, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them also, Lord, as well. May you speak to them, Lord, on a one-on-one basis. Just, Lord, you are going to speak to us here this evening. We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I have quite the scripture list here this evening. I don't know how long the Bible study is going to go for tonight, but it's going to potentially have a continuation to this. It's on a topic that I've been very much fascinated about. And before I give it all away, I want to get to the scripture right away. All right? We're going to get right to the scriptures. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Kings. We are going to cover 2 Kings, chapter 5, and let's just see here, and I'm going to follow also you guys here in my own Bible here, and those of you that's watching right now online, you're welcome to follow also online. And I have you guys there, let's see, starting in verses 8, correct? And do I have you guys going all the way down to, is it verse 11? Yep. Okay. My notes said something slightly different. But okay. Are we all there? Good to go? All right. Let us read the Word of God. The Word of the Lord says, So, briefly, before we start reading this, I thought about this and I didn't put it on my notes, so I'll take the camera back on me once again. I just want to preface everything right now. Right now, we're going to read the story of Naaman, right? We all know the story of Naaman. He was a strong man, he was a man of valor, and he was someone who was against the Israelites. And he went and got some people captives, brought some people back. And on one of the captives and one of the slaves, there was a little girl. And one day, this little girl says, "Oh, if only my master would know this prophet that we have in Israel. Because if he would know this prophet, he would be healed." That is tremendous faith. That is wonderful coming from a This person, this little girl could have been a child. She could have been a teenager. Most likely she was a teenager, I venture to say. She was a maid in the house of Naaman, specifically his wife. And imagine a child or a teenager like this that knows about the power of God, that knows about the things that the Lord can do, and she testified. She borderline almost gave a testimony. He said, if you see this prophet, if you see this man of God, you're going to be healed. Oh, if you were just back in my country, it would have been a done deal. Now, back then, there was no cure for leprosy. If you caught this virus, it's considered a virus, right, I would assume? Leprosy? Would you say it's a virus? No? It's a skin disease, but it's highly contagious, right? But I'm pretty sure there's a technical terminology for it. But if you caught it, you were done, right? There was no cure whatsoever. You couldn't stabilize it. It's a bacteria. If you caught the bacteria, thank you. And it progressively got worse, and you start losing all of your feelings. Your nerve endings stop working, and then all of a sudden you couldn't feel any pain. And then eventually what would happen is you start losing body parts. Right? So I'd imagine that anybody would be willing to do just about anything to be healed from leprosy. It was almost unheard of, somebody being healed from leprosy, unless if it was a miracle, right? So what happens here is Naaman right away goes to the king and he says, I got this servant girl who said this, 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 about that, that, and this, and et cetera, et cetera. So the king says, go, be gone, see ya, and I'm going to send you with a letter, right? I'm going to send you with a letter, but Naaman goes to the king. And the king translates this letter as though he's the one that's supposed to heal Naaman. Now, mind you, there had already been a feud going on. There was already a dispute. So the king takes the letter the worst way possible. And this is where we're going to pick up right now. All right? Just wanted to share that little story and tell the little story. The king he was upset. He was livid. The Bible says that he tore his clothes. Right? So upset he was. And then Elijah got a hold of this. And this is where we're going to pick up in verses 8. I'm ready for the verse, please. So it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. Now verses 10 says, and Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and shall stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And this is where we stop reading right now. This is the end of these verses. Well, Brother Joshua, if you could highlight for me, please, verses 11 of that block that I gave you, but let me have the King James Version. Then whenever you have it, you're welcome to put it up. The King James puts it in a way that is, well, it's hard for me to say. Is it ready? Let's go ahead and read it. But Naaman was angry. He was wroth and ran away and said, behold, I thought. I want to stop right there. Well, actually, no, let's continue reading. Let's go ahead and read. I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leopard.
You know, I like this verse 11. This verse 11 to me is so colorful. All these thoughts come to mind. And how many of us in here haven't been placed in that particular situation? Behold, I thought.
And that is the title for this evening's Bible study.
Behold, I thought. And here we see a classic case of expectations, right? Expectations, expectations, expectations. How many of us expect a certain degree of such and such from such a place because of such and such amount of money that you have paid? Right? You expect. Or we expect such and such from such a person because of who they are. We all have expectations. We all have them. Your expectations might be different when you walk into a fast food restaurant opposed to if you go to, say, Capital Grill in downtown Baltimore, where they serve these $100 to $200, $300 plates, right? When you're paying that much money for a plate, your expectations are going to be quite high, right? So here we see a classic case of someone expecting something. Surely I thought he was going to come and shout, kick, yell, and scream and wave his hand all over the place. This is what I came here to see. I came here to see a spectacle. And after he had done all these things, I would be healed from the leprosy. This is what I was expecting. But it's not. And instead, the Bible says that he went away wroth, upset, livid. He was mad, right? This was his immediate reaction right afterwards. And, you know, our thoughts many, many times will lead us astray if we don't watch ourselves. Especially when we have the wrong expectations. Especially when we are not watching. We're not being watchful. When our purpose is not pure. Our motives are not just. For all of us who walk with the Lord, who trust in God, who rely on His guidance, sometimes we do have to fine-tune our expectations. And this is what I want to talk about this evening. This thought process. Behold, I thought. This is what I thought. And folks, this is especially true concerning our obligation towards the Almighty God. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to our obligation to serve Him, to do His work, to do His bidding, is how it's normally mentioned or read. We must truly watch our thought process. We must watch the way that we do things. We must be diligent in what we do. And that also includes our thoughts. I want you to take notice of a couple of scriptures right now I'm going to bring to your attention. The first one is going to come from Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Here we can see that when we think things that we're not supposed to, this includes planning, otherwise known as scheme or scheming. This includes anything that goes against the Word of God. anything that you know is not right, anything that stems from evilness, the Bible calls it an abomination. This is one reason why we must always watch, guard our thoughts, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. But I also find it very delightful, the second part of this verse that says, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Which means what? The Lord takes delight on your pure heart, on the things that you do. When you are in God's ways, when we are dedicated, are in tune with God, are aligned with the Spirit of God, being guided by the Spirit of God, anything that you do delights Him. He loves it. He loves it. The way that you are, the persona that you carry, your demeanor, and everything else, when you do it for God, the Lord takes delight in all of this, and then He blesses you. And then He blesses the works of your hands. Anything that you touch is blessed. When you pray to the Lord, He hears. It starts from the heart. It starts with your mind. May I have Isaiah 55 now? We're going to cover verses 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And here are the famous verses here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In the verse that we just finished reading right now, I want to focus on God's thoughts. We could understand the beginning of this. We could understand the first couple of verses here, verses 6, verses 7. But then the Lord is speaking right now. You know, men should not judge the Lord our God or reason by our ways and our thoughts, because it's just not going to work. Our thoughts are not the same as the Lord's. Our God thinks and acts in ways that transcend anything that you and I can ever, ever imagine. Sometimes I sit and I try to make sense of things, understand the way that the Lord does things, and it every single time, I can't get it. The only thing that I can possibly grasp, the only thing that I can possibly understand about the Lord my God is that He loves me. And that He loves my socks off. I truly understand that. And I understand that He wants the best for me. And He has the best in mind for me. But every single time I tried to figure the Lord out, why did He do this? In this way, in this fashion, and then it took me through this way, and how can I repeat this? And when I try to repeat it, it's not the same, right? Trying to create the formula. And that's what a lot of people trying to figure out when it comes to heavenly things, spiritual things. They want the formula. There are certain things, yes, that we must do. The Lord our God gave us instructions. He gave us commandments. But the Lord also told us to have faith. Instructed us to have faith in God, which sometimes there is no rule book for that. There is no formula. And that's why we shouldn't try to figure God out, but instead trust Him, rely on Him. And one thing also is worthwhile mentioning. The Lord our God knows our thoughts. He knows what we think. He knows what we go through. May I have Psalms 94:11? The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile I'm going to say that it is foolishness to think that God is not aware of a particular situation, that God is not aware of your circumstances, that God does not see you. He doesn't hear your cry. He is unaware of what you're going through. Please don't think that. If he had the skill to plant the ear inside of a human being's body, does he not have the power to also hear what you are saying? Absolutely he does. If he's the one that made every single part of this ear here and everything around it, outside and inside, of course he can hear. So it's foolishness for us to think that he can't hear us. If this Creator God, the Almighty God, created the eye, do you think that he is blind to see what you're going through or what's going on in your life? How can he have less knowledge than what he has imparted in you, in mankind, when he created the brain? And he created the thought process and all these things, how they work. The fact is this, and that is that the Lord knows every single thing. He knows it all. And if in case you already know this, let this be a reminder. Because a lot of times we might think that, man, what is going on? Lord, don't you see this? Don't you see what I am going through? Yes. The Lord sees. And one thing I should say, don't let your thoughts condemn you. Don't. Don't let your way of thinking steal your blessing, steal your happiness. A lot of times when we start thinking negative things, things that we're not supposed to, it leads on to more and more bad things. And it all starts from the thought. There is a man in the New Testament. It's recorded that he has a conversation with Peter. His name is Simon. And Simon is a magician. And the Word of God reveals several things about Simon. And I don't have there the whole verse, but I think I'm going to bring everything up here. Back there I have Acts chapter, is it 8 verses 22? So, stay close to the trigger there because I want to go a little bit further. Oh, it's already there. There it is. All right, Acts 8, 22 says, "Repent therefore." Actually, let me do my switch here so we're on the same page. There it is, New King James. "Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven." Right? Speaking about the magician. Won't you click the next verse for me, please? Now, verses 23. Verses 23 says, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And the next verse says, "Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." And what I've always found interesting was this, the very next verse. It kind of leaves everything alone and it says, So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans, right? And the story ends right there. And I find that to be somewhat, abrupt, right? It's just cut off right there. Why is that? Like Sarah would say, let's back up the train a little bit, right? Let's put the train on reverse. We started out in verses 22, where Peter says for this man to repent from his wicked ways. "Repent therefore of your wickedness and pray to the Lord God Almighty if perhaps
You will turn away from your wicked heart. If perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. This is what Peter is saying. And then he finishes off his sentence by saying, for I see that you are poisoned with bitterness and bound by iniquity. When you think of bound, it means you cannot move. You're tied up by iniquity. And yet he is asking for the Holy Spirit. In verses 19, I don't have that in the scripture, but if you guys want to put it up, it says, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He sees Peter praying for the sick, praying for the Christians. When he puts his hands on them, they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. They fall down. They're speaking in tongues. The miraculous is happening. And I'm pretty sure he can sense this. He can sense the power of God around. And then he offers them money and says, give me this so I also can do the same things that you do. All right? I just want to say that it is from this man Simon, that we get the modern word simony, which is making a business out of that which is sacred. Making a business of that which is sacred. It includes the skill of indulgence in other supposed spiritual benefits and all forms of commercialism in divine matters. This is where we get this from. Just from this man, Simon. Now, back to the story here. Peter urges this man to repent of his great sin and pray that his wicked plan might be forgiven. Simon's reply was to ask Peter to serve as a mediator between God and himself. This is what we see in the story, correct? He was the forerunner of those who would rather go to a human mediator than to the Lord himself. This is a magician. Let's just call the man spiritual, right? But he's performing illegal spiritualism, right? He's a magician. He calls upon the powers of darkness, not upon the powers of light. So when he senses the Holy Spirit around, this is something somewhat familiar to him because he already messes in that realm. He already lives in that realm. This is how he got his riches. This is how he is known, respected. This is how he makes his living. But instead of him going to the Creator God, instead of him searching God himself, he asked Peter to do it for him. He's enticed to seek a human mediator, then go to the Lord himself. That's not a good thing. Our Lord God is reachable. Our Lord God is personable. Any single one of us can hear God's voice. Any single one of us could be visited by God. By all means. You don't have to receive a word from God through somebody else. Someone else could be used by the Lord to give you a message, to give you a word. Yes, 100%. It's in the Bible. But nonetheless, here, the intentions are wrong. There is no true repentance in Simon's part. When he indicated these words, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. There is no repentance in this word, in these words. He was not sorry for his sin, but only for the consequences which it might bring him. He wasn't sorry for what he did. Because if he was, the Bible would have written that right then and there he repented. And guess what would have happened next? The name of the Lord would have been glorified. Oh, the name of the Lord would have been glorified. 100%. If this man would have turned around and repented with all of his heart and professed with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I bet you anything that that would have been written right here, right afterwards. But instead, the writer just goes on, ignores the man, and says, and then we just continued on preaching the word. Right? There is no repentance in the man's heart. May I please have Proverbs chapter 24, verses 9. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. Foolish here, or foolishness in the Hebrew, is of aveleth. I hope I pronounced that right. Which means, the first strongest meaning is to be perverse, silliness, folly. This is the kind of foolishness that makes one corrupt and perverse. So this doesn't refer to the playfulness and humor associated with clean fun. So we can be silly. We can be goofy, right? Sometimes even borderline foolish, right? When we're trying to be a little bit clownish, right? But this is not what it refers to. This refers to perverse, to folly. And folks, we need to watch our thought process. We need to watch the things of God. This man Simon thought it was perfectly okay for him to do what he did and to say what he said without any sort of repentance of the heart. He thought that he was able to buy a blessing. This is what he thought. And this is why we ought to guard our thoughts. Every single one of us. Guard the way that you think. Watch out in how you think and therefore say things. May I have Philippians 4:7? And the peace of the Lord our God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. As I'm meditating over this verse, I think about the beginning part of this verse that says, and the peace of God. The peace of God is everything. That is my confident booster, my confident builder. That is my assurance. That is from A to Z, the peace of God. If you have the peace of God, you're good. You are all good. It is the peace of God that has kept me sane through the past year and a half. It is the peace of God that has kept me safe from every single thing. And I'm just going to go ahead and include COVID-19. Because there are other things running out there that are worse than COVID-19. And the Lord still keeps me from that. Why? Because of the peace of God. Right now, the Bible says that it shall keep you. The peace of God will keep, shall keep, will guard your hearts and minds, both my heart and both of my thought, through His Son, Jesus Christ. This word here, shall keep, the Greek is it's hard for me to pronounce this, but it's phrureo. Yes, there we go. Phrureo, which means garrison. Keep watch, or keep guard. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and thoughts through Christ Jesus. And right now, shall keep or will guard is continuous. Will keep, will guard. Translated keep and keeping with garrison. This is direct translation.
And if we understand this, and if we conclude that we will accept this, by all means, where is the worry? Where is the panic? Where is the fear? Behold, I thought. We have to watch what we think. We must guard our thoughts. And we must fill our minds with the Word of God and what the Bible truly says. And I want to conclude right now with 10 things, 10 secrets to cure worry. 10 secrets for the cure of worry. And I'm going to try to quickly go through them here right now. I have just a few verses. I'm not going to give you 10 verses. But the first thing is, going back to Philippians 4:7, permit the peace of God to garrison, to keep you, and keep your heart, and keep your mind through Christ Jesus. The first thing you must do is permit. Allow. Let God be God. Let God take over. Allow this to happen. Read, meditate Philippians 4:7. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you want to renounce all worry. How do I do that? How do I renounce all these things that I might be mindful about, that might be worrying me? First, by prayer, by supplication. And afterwards, to be followed with thanksgiving. With all these things in mind, let your requests be made known to God. Isn't that what the Word of God says? You can find that in Philippians 4:6, just the previous verse. But now I want to bring your attention to James 4:7, please. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. By all means. This is how you renounce worry. Worry is going to come. Evil thoughts are going to come. The Bible says that you could resist these evil thoughts, and it will flee from you. Things that do not come from the throne of God. Which in turn, on the third thing here, think on the right things. If in case you're wondering what the things you should think about, you can find it in Philippians 4:8. It gives you a long list of things. And after the list is done, the Bible says, think on these things. Meditate on these things. Philippians 4:8. The next thing is keep your mind glued on God. Stay with the Lord. Think about the Lord your God, how wonderful He is. How magnificent. How much He loves you. This is the best way that I can think about my God. May I have Isaiah 26:3, please? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Bam, bam, bam. Well, that just wrapped it all up together. Real nice, huh? That's a nice little package there. It pays to keep our minds on God. There's a blessing for you. And now that you got all this bundled up, you just don't keep it to yourself, right? You want to keep going. You don't want worry to come back. So what do? You use the weapons of spiritual warfare. Now you fight. Now you're ready to go. May I have 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the knowledge that you just received, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See there? Kick it in gear. Put it into action. It's important for us to do this. We can't just sit and take blows. We can't just sit and wait till the next catastrophe. That doesn't work. You'll never be prosperous, fruitful, conquerors, victorious, all these things. And this is why the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, which is the sixth thing that I'm referring to right now out of the list of 10. If in case you want to look it up, it's going to be Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. It talks about the whole armor of God. And after you have the whole armor of God, number 7, have faith in God. Oh, the list of scriptures are quite long, referring to having faith in God. After you put on the whole armor of God, after you thought about all these things, trust in the Lord, after you meditate on His Word, after you prayed, in all of this, trust God. Because then, number 8, what's going to happen is you will live and you will walk in the Spirit. These are all steps. These are all key things that you can do to walk in the Spirit. You want a formula? I hope you're writing this formula down. Try it out. It's going to work for you. Number 9, do not cast away your confidence. Cherish the confidence that you have. Know who you are in Christ. Hebrews 3:6, please. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We got to hold on to this stuff, folks. God is in you. You are the temple of the Most High God. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote a pastor's desk about that. You are that temple. The Lord God resides in you. Let this be a confident booster to every single person listening to this. And now, just a few chapters over, Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Do not become sluggish. Don't lose your blessing. Don't cast away your confidence. It's important for us to just maintain. We're not just sitting here surviving. We're not survivors over here. We're not in the business of surviving. We are overcomers. We are conquerors. We are winners. The battle has already won. We're not sitting here to survive. So don't be sluggish in the faith. And the very last thing is, cast all of your single cares upon Jesus. Cast your cares upon Him, because you know what's going to happen. 1 Peter 5, 7, please. If you still worry, simply cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. He cares for you and I. Just leave it in God's hands. Just leave it on the altar. Give it to Him, and He will take care of it. Behold, I thought. Let's line up our thoughts with God's thoughts. Right? Let's be one with Him. Let's be in tune with God. Amen, folks? Amen. If it's the Lord's will, I'll continue to speak about this next week. We shall see when the time comes. But for now, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we love You. We bless Your holy name, Lord. Thank You so much, Lord, once again for this beautiful day that You've created us for us. And thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit abides in us. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, is in us. And Lord, may we always be aware of this fact that You, Lord, You see everything. You know our thoughts. You watch, You hear every single thing, Lord, concerning us and even around the world also. And Lord, I pray that we will come to trust in You always. I pray, Lord, that our thoughts would not deceive us. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of fear may be cast down in Jesus' name. For everyone, Lord, who is living right now in fear, for everyone, Lord, right now who needs to hear this message, I pray, Lord, that they will wholeheartedly cling on to what your word says. And only think about, Lord, those things that are for the righteous. For you delight, Lord, in the ways of the righteous. Lord, we are conquerors. We are winners. Through you, Lord, through you we can do all things. Through your holy name. And may we know this, Lord. And may we meditate, Lord, in everything that is godly, that is pure, that is holy, that will bring honor to your name and represent your kingdom. As we always say, Lord, we love you and we will always love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you.